drive the amazing golf ball whacker guy.
Welcome, everybody, to another episode of Golf Picks with the Plotniks, presented by Bet the Farm Podcast. I am Dean of the Pig, and I'm joined by the farmer, Jared Plotnik. Charles Schwab challenge last week. We really ended up, our only pony was Patrick Reed, and he completely implodes on Sunday. 2 weeks in a row on the PGA Tour that a guy who started the day on Sunday was seven shots back and won the tournament via a playoff as well as a clubhouse leader. How about that?
How about that, Brandon? How about that? Fortunately for us, wasn't one of our ponies, but enough of a profitable week. We got a nice dead heat rules first round leader cash, a couple
That's
of those.
Right. We did have
that. And Patrick Reed, great matchup week. So, look, we can get down, but variance is going to turn in our direction soon, and it starts this week at Jack's Place.
Jack's Place, the Memorial 2022 is at Muirfield Village Golf Club. It is Jack's Place. He designed the course. It is a par 72, 7,500 yards on bent grass greens. I'm definitely going to dive pretty deep into the course setup for everybody out there. So, but before I did that, I wanted to just talk about, let's just talk a little bit about, you know, how we're going to attack building our cards this week. Sorry, it's not coming out right now.
Yeah, you're right, dude. You seem a little flustered. But I mean, this tournament, kind of like last week, invitational only, 120 guys, pretty star-studded fields, not as good as a major or the Players or whatnot, as a few guys on the top end like JT, Scheffler are not playing, but still stacked event, huge payday. They increased the purse for this event dramatically now that we have no more WGCs. And this is kind of one of the weeks where I'm going to be more concentrated in that mid area and not looking like I'm going to have a couple long shots like I normally do every week personally. So that's kind of how I'm looking at attacking it. How about yourself?
Yeah, I was actually thinking kind of the same thing. The top of the board.
I got to change my mind.
The top of the board is loaded, but I do have a guy at the top that I like a lot just because I think I saw a good line move my way, but not a long shot event for me this week. I only have one really, really long shot. And you're going to laugh when I start talking about him, but I love him. So I'm excited about it. Okay, this is a tricky week. Like you mentioned, it's an invitational. So only 120 players. So a lot of guys are going to make the cut. 56% of the guys make the cut here. And that's not even assuming that there's ties at the tee, like for the top 65. So people are tied. So a lot of people make the cut this week. And a lot of different types of golfers have won this event. Your reigning champion, Patrick Cantlay. For everybody out there, you may recall John Rahm with a 5 or 6 stroke lead heading into Sunday after his round on Saturday, is informed that he has COVID and he's forced to withdraw. So it ended up going to a playoff with Patrick Cantlay and Colin Morikawa, and Patrick Cantlay drilling every putt known to man. I think they played 2 or 3 holes and he hit 2 20 footers. One of them was to seal the deal. The year before that was John Rahm that won that event as well. And then Patrick Cantlay won before that. So it's flip-flopped a few years in a row. Before that, 2018, Bryson DeChambeau. This was before Bryson's transformation when he was still skinny. And then speaking of guys that are not skinny, you got 2017 winner Jason Duffner and 2016 William McGirt, David Lingmuir. Hideki won here back in 2014, Matt Kuchar. The point of me rattling all these off is think about all the different types of golfers I just mentioned. A Matt Kuchar, a Jason Duffner versus a John Rahm or a Patrick Cantlay. You know, just so many different types of guys can win here. And I think that's what makes this so interesting. Now, a lot of, you know, long shots did win over those few years that I mentioned, specifically 3 years in a row, Lingmuir, McGirt, Duffner. But I don't think that this was as marquee of an event at the time. Now, a lot of the studs play here. Like you mentioned, they increased the purses. So stacked fields, and I'm excited to get after it. So let's talk a little bit about the course. Jack's Place, Muirfield Village. What are you seeing on your end?
What am I seeing on my end? At Jack's Place, I mean, yeah, like the redesign, they redesigned it this year. Kind of, it's really just a full test of your game, Brandon. That's what I'm looking at, which you don't really see every week on the PGA Tour, but that's what Jack likes. Wants to test you everywhere, narrow the fairways a little bit. But as always, when it comes to these tough courses like this, I'm always going to put a premium on iron play, especially some long iron play. You're going to have a lot of long irons on this track with, I think I read seven par fours between 450, 500. So you're going to have to put yourself in the fairway. I mean, fairway is important too. I don't necessarily care about length. I care more about strokes gained overall driving, because you're going to have to hit out of the fairway. The rough here is extremely penile. So I just want guys that are going to get me in the fairway. And then when you're there, take advantage with some stellar iron play. So, and then just try to get hot with a putter. That's ideally what I'm looking at today, and kind of what my base handicap is for a lot of these tough courses.
Yeah, solid read right off the bat. A few other things that I'll touch on as well is the bunkers. Bunker play is going to be massive this week. There's 74 bunkers on the course. You got to be good out of the sand. They also, this tournament has the lowest scrambling percentage on the PGA Tour. That's at 53%. So it's going to be a lot of bogey avoidance. It's not an easy track. Like you mentioned, if you don't hit the fairways, you're going to be in penile rough. And if you're in penile rough, that typically does not lead to GIRs. So then you got to scramble, be good around the greens, be good with your short game. Now, they do have wide fairways still, but it's going to be really important to hit the fairways this week. So definitely looking for guys that are good off the tee. I mean, you got to be good at everything. But I think if you couple like the how important fairways are and the fact that the greens are smaller than the tour average and run at some of the fastest pace that they see throughout the year, I think GIRs are going to be extremely important. So I'm definitely looking at guys that have a good GIR percentage. And some of my notes, I'm just looking at some things. Yeah, you don't, like I mentioned, you don't have to be a bomber here. We've seen guys like Jason Duffner, Lingmuth, Kuchar, even Steve Stricker's won this event. So don't have to bomb the ball here. One thing you do have to do, as you mentioned, is be really good with some of your long irons. There's three par threes that are over 200 yards, and all four of the par threes rank as in the top six of the hardest holes on the course, because they're all over water. So you might see some water balls. And there's four par fives on the course, and they're all gettable, all under 600 yards, and all four have above a 30% birdie rate. So a few trends about Mirrorfield that I stumbled upon that I figured I'd share. And sorry for the sniffles. I don't know what's just happened. Like I mentioned last week.
Okay, you know, here we go again.
Yeah. Like I mentioned last week, yeah, I'm going to be forced to withdraw my bets before the tournament starts, just like John Rahm had to last year. So maybe that'll be good for me since I haven't hit a winner. And we did get that dead heat first round leader last week, so I'll count that as a winner. But anyways, yeah, I mean, last week I had the garbage truck. This time there's a cat out front, and maybe his hair or something's getting in my nose. I don't know. Allergy season. I actually took I looked at it, me and my brother, for everybody out there, we live together. And Jared, I looked into one of the like drawers in the kitchen, and there was like one of those at-home COVID tests that the government sent. And since we were at parties all weekend, I was like, you know what? I felt fine. I was like, I'm just going to test myself, see if I have it. Maybe I just I have no symptoms, asymptomatic. And nope, I'm negative. So no COVID for me. But
I guess you just have cat hairs up your nose now.
Yeah, I got the cat hairs up my nose. All right, let me talk about some trends at Mirrorfield Village. So six of the past seven winners of this event had made the cut at Mirrorfield prior. So course history is going to be huge this week. I'm going to be talking a lot about guys that I am eyeing this week that have played well here in the past and have played a lot of times here, because I think familiarity is always important. Another interesting tidbit, and which is kind of crazy, because there's been two playoffs in a row on the PGA Tour, which sometimes they can go months without any, but two in a row at Mirrorfield, there's been a playoff in five of the last 8 years. So could we see another playoff? Who knows? But there's been a ton of playoffs this year. So, I mean, luckily one of them, I hit Spieth in one of them. So that one made me happy, but all good. Playoffs are always fun, especially if you don't have a pony in the race. Makes it at least a little bit interesting. All right. Let me talk about the weather. So going to be perfect up in Dublin, Ohio. literally perfection, 60s and 70 degree weather. The winds are only about 5 to 10 miles per hour, pretty much the entire time, even with some gusts, maybe up to 15, but that's very minimal. Friday afternoon, the wind does look like it's going to peak at about 15 miles an hour. So you might want to be looking at some PM AM wave guys, perhaps. I think that that's the one time of the weekend that things might get a little bit crazier, but the weather looks great, so nothing I'm too worried about. All right, it's about that time. Let's jump right into the field. So you mentioned a lot of studs this year. John Rahm back for some revenge is your outright leader at 10 to 1 odds. You got Rory McIlroy, Patrick Cantlay, and those are the only guys in that 10 to 20 range. Then it gets really interesting from 20 on with the likes of Jordan Spieth, Xander Schauffele, Morikawa, Cameron Smith, Victor Hovland, Shane Lowry, Fitzpatrick, and Hideki Matsuyama. That's going to fill up that 20 to 30 range. So let's talk a little bit about the 10 to 30 range, I guess. What caught your eye and what did you end up deciding on?
Well, how do you know that? I mean, you immediately went down to the 20 range. How do you know I don't like Rory McIlroy at 10 to 1?
I just said the 10 to 30 range, you moron.
I'm sorry, I heard 20 to 30, my bad. With that said, sorry, I got a text about softball, got a little distracted.
So let me guess, you bet on Rory. Psych, no chance.
Yeah, I start my card at 10 to 1, psych. Yeah, I'm skipping that top area. I mean, with these golfers nowadays, I just think that top end, they have just as much win equity as a couple of the guys at 20 to 24, and you're getting like double the number on them. So with that said, I'll just start it off. I started my card. I was eyeing him. I was hoping he missed the cut last week, but he made it on the number, but didn't do anything on the weekend because I wanted the best number
possible. Oh, we're going to be on the same guy this week.
2 to 1. I'm going with Colin Morikawa.
Wow.
Man, I don't bet Colin Morikawa very often. Why? Because he had been winning a lot, playing well, and numbers were always in the teens. Now he finally gets that little drop down, and he does it at a course that I think is tailor-made for him, as I kind of explained on my preview. Guy is not long off the tee, but hits a lot of fairways, so he gains the strokes by being accurate, which is, again, what I'm kind of looking for this week. And there's with no JT in the field, Colin Morikawa is the best iron player in this field, exactly what I'm looking for yet again. Last week at Charles Schwab, even though he had a boring 40th place finish, 5.6 gained on approach. He's just the last five events, he's been bleeding strokes, putting. But that's what Colin does. He has pop weeks, and he putts like shit for 75% of the tournaments, and then he has one where he pops. He's been red, five in a row. And the Genesis, he finished second, he gained 6.8. Then you just have red. Last year, oh, I think it's the Memorial. Wow, this is this tournament. Second place finish, 5.4. gained putting when he just I mean with
he was in that playoff with Cantlay.
Yeah, I know. An asterisk too, but still a two nonetheless. What I'm just trying to get at is whenever he's green with the putter, he's in the top three of the field. So I mean, we're gonna just need a little putt luck with him, but the rest of his game, the stuff that I find that is something that is controllable, is the stuff that I think fits this course absolutely perfectly. And low key, Colin Morikawa hasn't won a tournament in almost a year. He hasn't won since the Open. And this is for as good as he is, he's itching to get back in the winner's circle. Great history here at Memorial at Muirfield. Like we said, not only did he have the second last year, the year before COVID year, when they had back-to-back tournaments right out of the COVID break, he won the workday at the same exact course. So he has a second finish here. He has a first finish here. And I just think that, I mean, I'd like to see the great approach numbers from last week. All in all, I think Colin Morikawa fits his course perfectly. And he does so at that reduced better line for us at 22 to 1 instead of in the teens.
Yeah, I'm on Colin this week as well. When I was looking at that area in that 20 to 1 range, a lot of guys stood out. Xander always stands out to me. He's a great course fit this week. I just at 20 to 1, he just simply does not have the win equity to be that high of odds. Cam Smith certainly rates out at a course like this, would be really good for him. I do have my issues with his wayward driving, and I think that if you're not going to hit fairways, it's going to be really hard to let that to let that approach play carry you, which is what's been carrying him. Because honestly, he hasn't even been very good around the greens like he typically is. You know, that's kind of his MO is around the green and short game and putting. But so I couldn't get there. Victor Hovland, 25-1. If you're going to have to scramble, guess who I'm not betting on? And that's going to be Victor Hovland. The one guy I loved certainly the most was Shane Lowry. He rates out so perfectly here. 25 is just an absurd number. I mean, he hasn't won on U.S. soil in literally 10 years. So I think that WGC was, it was like 2012 when he won that WGC Bridgestone, which actually is a very good comp course because they played that at Firestone Country Club, which is like the number one comp course. It's also in Ohio. So yeah, comp course is
fucking asterisk due to the weather gods at the Honda, but I digress. Sorry.
True. I couldn't get to 25 and, you know, like you mentioned, I sat there waiting and I also was able to pounce on Morikawa at 22-1. I love the number. He fits the mold for an approach heavy course where GIRs mean more than usual. Last 50 rounds ranks 6th on approach and 17th in GIRs gain. Also 17th at tee to green. I was looking at like some of his finishes. The guy plays way better in difficult conditions. I'm not going to say that conditions are going to be hard this week, but the course never plays easy. I mean, the lowest score to par we've seen over the last 10 years is Cantlay at minus 19, but we've also had, I mean, besides that, everyone's basically around the minus 9 to minus 13 range-ish. And like you mentioned, they did restructure and reconcer the course, which I think is only going to make it a little bit more difficult.
Purposely, it was all done to make it harder. So, yeah.
Exactly. So, he plays better in difficult conditions. One thing I looked into, and I'm going to talk about this with a lot of my guys, and it's funny because I looked into it after I had basically built my cart already, but he loves Nicklaus Design courses. In the last 6 Nicklaus Design courses that they've played on the PGA Tour, Colin Morikawa is 1st in strokes gained against the field. So something to be said about that. We talk about that with Pete. We talk about that with Pete Dye courses where certain guys like Siwoo Kim and things like that, where they just always play well. Sometimes courses fit your eye the way that they're the architecturally built. And
that's what I was going to cut you off to say quickly. Cause yeah, the whole premise of Jack Nicklaus and his designs, he loves designing courses that for the most part play a dogleg a little left to right because that fit hit the cut shot he always played in his career. So he likes designing courses that way. And what does Colin Morikawa play? A cut shot. So there's a method to that madness.
Another thing I heard about Nicklaus design courses is he builds all of his courses with one thing in mind. He wants every shot that you get closer to the hole to be harder. I thought that was a really interesting way to look at it. So that's why I'm having such importance on short game. It's going to be extremely hard with all those bunkers to be scrambling, and hopefully you hit the greens, but there's a very low GIR percentage. So not going to be as likely as usual, especially the greens are small. All right. Well, we're both on Morikawa at 22-1. I talked about everybody else in the 20 to 30 range. Didn't sound like anyone fit or caught your eye since I didn't hear anything from you. So shall we get to the 30 to 40 range?
That's actually not correct. All I did was give my Morikawa play, Brandon. You need to give me a chance to talk about anyone else.
Well, I mentioned all the guys. Sport
your fucking cat nose hairs and let me talk for a little bit, and then everyone will be happy. All right. So
fucking chinchilla up your ass.
Yeah, that's what I thought. So actually, what's new, especially now this week we're recording on a Tuesday afternoon. Everyone knows me. I only like to take advantage of numbers that I like early in the week, and I tend to wait to see if I get some drift. So I'm eyeing a few guys in this kind of 20 to 40 range. I have not bet on anyone yet, but I know this is going to shock you, and I may take him now that I know that you're not on him because it's just your butt buddy, and I know whenever your butt buddy's not on your card that he's going to be contending. And I have a heavy, heavy eye on Xander Schauffele this week, and everyone's like, whoa. I never take him on his own. I'm comfortable betting him and Patrick Cantlay at the Zurich because he had Patrick Cantlay with him. But on his own, it's not really the thing for me. Why? I just always think his number is just not in the spot that it's supposed to be in for a guy that doesn't win. But now I'm seeing a 22-1 on him, and he's got my attention. I mean, he has the game that I think fits perfectly here. What am I looking for? Guys that just are well-rounded. I think Xander Schauffele, the reason why he has a lot of high finishes but no ceiling finishes, he's just a very well-rounded player. He does everything well. And, I mean, I like him at the PGA, at the AT&T, his last two starts, gained
in all four major categories, off the tee, approach, around the green, putting. All four major categories gained in back-to-back tournaments. That's what I want to see headed into a course fit like this. On top of that, he has three top 15 finishes here the last 3 years. So, I mean, good course fit. His game's trending in the right direction. And, you know, deep down, he feels like he has to prove, like, he needs a win. Him winning with Patrick Cantlay wasn't really enough. I don't know if I trust him to win in a major, but in a step below a major event like this, I could see Xander getting it done. So I got a close eye on him. Other than him, two other guys. And I mean, right now I've seen a 28-1 best numbers for the both of them, but I think we're going to get a little drift. So I'm waiting until tomorrow. I think I can catch a 30, but I most certainly shouldn't be surprising you, Brandon, and coming off of a well-rounded game, he leads for me as number one in strokes gained total, like on the PGA Tour right now. And that's going back to Matt Fitzpatrick, and the guy is just playing phenomenally. He just is. I want him on tough tracks. That's where he plays his best. I'll probably be on him at the US Open for that reason. But at the PGA, at the Wells Fargo, same thing I just said about Xander. He gained in all four major categories in both events. His approach plays, he gained a little bit, but I mean, the big change for him is, I mean, nine consecutive events in a row he's gained on approach. And that's why you shouldn't be surprised by all of his top 10 finishes. I mean, guy has 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 top 10 finishes in his last 10 starts. I mean, the guy's just playing phenomenal golf. That's why he ranks so high in statistical models. Not seeing much love for him. And I understand why. He hasn't got that win. I would like a bigger number on him. I think I'm going to get it. But he sets up perfectly here for me. He came in second or third place here, I believe, 2 years ago. Yeah, third place in 2020 here. So played well here. Fits the course as well. And then the other guy that I'm eyeing, Brandon, that I haven't taken yet, but it is, I think I could get a little better number. Hideki Matsuyama, just got my eyes on him. When we talk about, whenever my eyes peel to, and I see an important stat is long irons, I'm going to be drawn to Hideki Matsuyama right away. He got the short end of the stick, the bad wave, I believe, at the PGA Championship. So I'm going to throw that out the window. But the week before, the Byron Nelson gained 9.5 with his irons. It's exactly what I want to see out of Hideki. I like him this week. I'll probably have two of those three on my final card when push comes to shove.
If I was going to pick any of the three, I would totally pick Xander Schauffele. He just rates out really well. He's great scrambling, great out of bunkers. out of bunkers. His approach play has been phenomenal. Tee to green. I love his proximity from 200 plus. That's the thing that scares me about Fitzy. He ranks 114th in the field out of 120 guys in proximity from 200 plus, considering there's three par threes over 200 yards and all four par fours or par fives are going to be pretty gettable if you're good off the tee. That certainly scares me, but it goes to show, considering four on par fours from 450 to 500 yards, ranked 63rd in the field. So yeah, not up my alley. I still want to see a little bit more out of him. I was more drawn to Cam Smith, but Cam Smith at 22, I just can't get there. And yeah, that's pretty much all my thoughts on it. So let's get to 30.
Yeah, I mean, you always need to find something across these players off because there's so many good ones. And yeah, Cam Smith. I mean, I just, in a course that the rough is going to be even more penile than it ever has been, I just can't. And he's awful course history here, number one, and number two, you can't dial into that amazing iron play if you're not hitting out of the fairway here. So he was like an easy cross off for me.
Yes, speaking of easy cross offs, like Cameron Young at 35, I know he's been phenomenal, but that's just such an absurd number for him. I think, you know, but you never know. Breakthrough wins always can come, especially at Jack's Place. So the 30 to 50 ish range starts with Will Zalatoris. 30-1, very similar to Hovland and even Morikawa for that matter. You know, anytime short game is at the pinnacle of, you know, what it takes to win, Zalatoris scares me a bit. Didn't want to go there. I still feel like it's a weird thing to say, but either he's going to win in like a really shitty field one time and just destroy everybody, or his first win is literally going to be a major. So I just, something about it with that kid, he's super competitive. Couldn't get to him, but at 35-1, I snagged a good number. My second play that I've already locked in is my hero, Sungjae Im at 35-1. This guy does everything you want at a course like Muirfields. I mean, I can't think of a guy that rates out better than him literally in the entire field. Let's rattle it off. In the last 50 rounds, he's fourth overall in my model, 7th tee to green, 12th in scrambling, 10th on par fours from 450 to 500 yards, 3rd around the green, 14th in sand saves, 4th in GIRs gained, and 9th in proximity from 200 plus yards. And literally that was my entire model. The only thing that's missing is approach play. And he's 50th in that, which is a little odd because that's not necessarily what I would say results-wise says. And sometimes that's a misleading stat because they could just have one really bad tournament. But he's only lost on that's the thing. He went on a little run. See, there it is. He went from – it was the Florida swing that killed him. The Honda API and the players lost strokes on approach in all three of those. But then after that, bounces back, finishes top 10 at the Masters. Unfortunately, no strokes gained data, but he obviously gained on approach if he finished top 10. And gained 2.9 at RBC and finished 21st. And then gained 2.5 last week at the Charles Schwab after missing out at the PGA Championship due to COVID. So good to see him back in the swing of things. He's always the best at his best when he's playing a lot, because if you know Sungjae Im, he basically doesn't miss it. He doesn't take a week off, no days off for him. What's killing him right now, and he probably could have won RBC or the Charles Schwab if he could just get that putter going. Lost 4 at RBC, lost 3 at Charles Schwab, and still had top 20 finishes. Love to see that. So I think if he could get that team to cooperate, he's got such a massive ceiling. He's won on the PGA Tour before, and guess where he won? PGA National. Very similar design. It's a jack, like just like for like Jack Nicklaus, you know, the bear trap. So I think that's another interesting comp course. And I think you're getting a discounted price here, mainly just because he missed the cut the last 2 years here. And I think that they factor that a lot into a lot of the guys' odds this week is, you know, how they've played at this course in the past and having missed cuts the last 2 years here. Obviously that factored in, but 35-1 seems like a good number to me. He's the perfect course fit. And he's on a little heater right now. He played really well the last few weeks. So give me Sungjae Im, 35.
I like it. I had a keen eye on him. I mean, he fits, like I just told you, likes to gain in all four major categories. There is no real weak point when it comes to that. Just need it all to click on a given week. So yeah. I like it.
It might be the only time I've ever bet him was probably at the Honda Classic when he won it. I never bet Sungjae. 35-1 seemed like a good number. So maybe just like, you know, when I pick my spots with Jordan Spieth, let's see if I could do the same with Sungjae, my hero.
All right. So that said, yeah, I mean.
You don't like Sungjae?
Did you not hear anything I just said?
You don't like him enough to bet him?
I mean, I still have this range open. I have him, Xander, Fitzpatrick, Matsuyama. And who was the other one?
Intrigues me as well.
I kind of like Niemann, but it was more, I was looking again at Zalatoris. Like, I think Zalatoris is one of the easier guys to kind of handicap. These are the kind of courses that he tends to play his best. I don't like him at birdie fests. I like him at hard conditions where he can rely on his strengths, which are off the tee and irons. But I don't know if I'll get to him this week just because I didn't like that, even though last week it was the miscut off of the playoff loss at the PGA, but it was more that he lost like 3.5 with his irons in 2 rounds, which I didn't like to see, but I don't know. We'll see. You guys know where to find me at @JaredP_ on Twitter for my final card. So, but a bet that I did put in along with Morikawa first click should be no surprise to anyone at 55-1. We're going back to the well with Thatrick Reed. Sorry, I let you guys all down with my wire.
That's not the name I thought was coming out of your mouth.
Yeah, well, it is. So, Thatrick Reed, 55-1. I mean, everything I talked about last week fit the mold and continued. Gained 3.5 on approach, 2.5 around the green, 2 putting, slight gainer off the tee. If he does that at a track like this, he'll be in contention again come Sunday, hopefully with a better result. But low-key, amazing course history here. The guy has not been in good form the last couple of years. And with that said, he came in fifth last year here. gaining 5.5 off the tee, gaining in all major categories. Came 10th the year before. He's never missed a cut here. Has another 8th place finish in 2016. So Patrick Reed likes these, and I think the course renovations will only benefit him. Making a course harder is right up Patrick Reed's alley. As long as he can keep that iron play going. I saw that he has been better off the tee now. They said he got rid of that shitty PXG driver that he had for over a year that was really weighing him down. And you can see that in the numbers. Like I said last week, when he trends, I ride him. I'm riding him again. Like him this week for all the same reasons. We're back on Patrick Reed at 55-1.
The reason I said that I was not expecting that to come out of your mouth is because there's another guy in between him, sandwiched in between him. And you said, I'm going back to the well. And who do you think I'm talking about?
I mean, I could be on him too.
Well, I don't know how you would have gotten anything better than a 55, but we'll talk about that in a little bit. So I'm also on Patrick Reed this week. Man, you and I are on a bunch of the same bets. It kind of scares me a little bit, but it is what it is. So, yeah, I like Patrick Reed 50-1. I got 50-1. Nice job grabbing the 55. What's not to like? This is actually the perfect course for Patrick Reed. He's a great scrambler and bunker player. He actually ranks 15th on tour in sand save percentage this season. So got to love that with 74 bunkers hugging all these greens. He dominates this track. You talked about the course history, 3 top tens, had a 5th place finish last year. Another guy who absolutely loves Jack Nicklaus design courses. So I love that. I mentioned, you know, just before how Morikawa plays really well on Nicklaus courses. Patrick Reed also does. So in the last 6 events that they've played Nicklaus design courses on tour, he ranks 15th in total strokes gained. So it's funny that I looked that stat up because a lot of the guys that I picked fall under that. Like they all play really well at Nicklaus design courses. And I mean, it makes sense, right? That's why the numbers are all sticking out. These guys all do kind of the same thing. And Patrick Reed, what we need him to do this week is hit some fairways. So yeah, like you mentioned, the irons are back over 3 strokes on approach again last week at the Charles Schwab. So what actually held him back almost all season was his putter, which is so weird because he's one of the best putters on tour every single year, year in and year out. He's notoriously a great putter, but I think he's starting to figure it out lately. The last few weeks, starting to gain some strokes with the putter, gained 2 this past week at in Dallas. I forgot the name for some wild reason.
Charles Schwab.
Yeah.
It's because you have cat hair in your damn throat.
I mean, that is the problem with like having my little studio out here. Like I do have a lot of distractions. Not the best thing for me, but you know, it's all good. I'm out here living my life. So anyways, combine all of that together. And dare I say, Patrick Reed is back. So I like him at 50-1. And you know what? I'm just going to keep going before I get distracted again. I cannot believe that after everything that's gone past you the last few weeks, that you're not going to take Mito Pereira at 45-1 odds this week. He's a phenomenal course fit. He's red hot. You got to ride golfers when they're on streaks because a lot of times they fizzle out. This guy's hot right now. I loved how he bounced back after that PGA choke with a top 10 finish at the Charles Schwab. Yeah, Jared, the Charles Schwab Challenge. Yeah. Not a challenge anymore. So I love that he bounced back with a top 10 finish there. He's number 2 in my model over the last 50 rounds and everything. Great scrambler, great around the greens, great out of the bunkers, and he's a ball striking wizard. To me, that says perfect match and also FOMO bet. I swear if he wins one of these weeks, which is funny because I didn't bet him the last 2 weeks and he almost won both of those weeks, but I'm not putting myself in that position again. FOMO every single week. Moving forward, that's it.
All right, well, now that means he'll miss the cut this week. Now that you're back on board the train. So with that said, yeah, you're right. I mean,
psych! Well, who do you think you are? I am. That Mito Pereira is not going to be on my card, you piece of shit.
Night way to try to jump in front of me and call a shot, and you are wrong. And guess what? You were slow, too, because I got Mito Pereira 55-1 Monday. He was one of my 3 first clicks with Morikawa and Patrick Reed. 4.1 off the tee, 3.1 on approach. Guy is just riding good form. 4th week in a row. Worries me a little bit that he may be burnt out. I don't care, though. When you have the best ball striker in the field over the last 5 tournaments and you're getting him at 55-1 and he's your man crush, you keep riding him. Mito Pereira, first click on my card. How dare you?
Wow. Yeah, I'm a little taken aback at the moment.
Yeah, you should be.
But both by the fact that you did end up taking it after I talked shit, and the cat also that's just destroying my nostrils at the moment, but also that I got suckered into a 45-1 and missed a 55-1. But you know what? A win's a win. I'll take it anyway. Get it. All right. Let's get above that 50-1 range. Let's move to 60 and above. I have a guy at 60-1 odds that I love this week, and his name is Daniel Berger. This number is, I don't, did he do something to someone in Vegas? I'm not understanding the book's hatred for Berger over the last few events. He has two top 10s on the year, four more top 25s, and only missed the cut twice. Like, what, where am I missing something here? Like, does he just like miraculously suck to be a 60-1 odds guy? The guy was sitting at 18-1 and 20-1 at the beginning of the year. It's not like he's playing that bad. He's not. Am I missing something?
I mean, Miguel Pereira is 55-1, and he's been the best ball striker for 4 weeks. And you got a lot of good golfers, Brandon. I mean, odds have to drop on some people. That's just how it works.
Yeah, I mean, unbelievable. And honestly, the crazy thing is he has two top 25s in his last three events. He also got that shit end of the wave for the PGA, so got destroyed there. But that's because he lost seven strokes putting, which is almost – I don't even know how you do that. But the putter is what's killing him. Lost two strokes and still finished top 25 at Charles Schwab. Lost strokes at the RBC, still finished top 25. He's a notoriously good putter. That is the least of my concerns. He is actually the perfect course fit. He's a tee to green wizard and one of the best short games on tour. He's eighth on the tour in sand save percentage. Another guy who absolutely dominates Jack Nicklaus design courses in those six events that they've played Nicklaus design courses that I've been talking about. He also ranked seventh in total strokes gained. He's going to love the track this week. Once he figures that putter out, everyone, good luck. But the kid has win equity. He's won over three times on the PGA Tour, 60-1 odds, very disrespectful number. And hopefully I'm the one that's having the last laugh here.
Yeah, we'll see.
And they call me Dino the Pig for a reason, everybody. It's because I love to fucking eat, even though I'm really not overweight or anything. I just love food. And when I look at the board and I see the burger on there, you think I'm not going to be attacking that? Get out of here.
Oh, good. Let's see you feast, my friend. Feast or famine there. With that said, yeah, I kind of eyed him. But look, man, we can't take everyone. He's still – I don't feel like I should take him, though. We already have enough of the same ponies. But still on my radar. Only other thing I really have for outright market, someone I'm eyeing, I said I was not really a long shot week for me, but one guy with the numbers stuck out to me at 150-1. And he's a guy that cost me money with Will Zalatoris back at the Farmers. And that's none other than Luke List at 150-1. This guy at the PGA being on the bad wave gained 7.2 strokes off the tee. 7.2. He is just, I don't think I've ever seen a number that big off the tee. Maybe Bryson went in a tournament that he dominated, but ridiculous. And I mean, Luke List, irons always going to be there. You know, that's his strength. And he actually did something last week at the PGA for the first time in forever. That was gained strokes putting, and he gained three of them. So you get, I mean, on the same kind of bent grass, if I get a hot putter, you got dominant off the tee game. Dial in those irons at 150-1 in a reduced field. I've seen a lot worse wagers. I just talked myself into it. Luke List is on my card, 150-1.
So I wanted to go look it up because I knew that somebody like Bryson had to have had a lot more strokes gained off the tee. Oh, you know what? I was looking at tee to green at the U.S. Open when he won it in September 2020. He gained 18 strokes tee to green. Let me see where I can find off the tee anything. What was it at? What was it, Luke List? 7 point something?
7.2.
All right. Bryson had 8 at the BMW Championship in the playoffs this past year. Let me see. I want to see if he has got anything higher than that before.
And I'm looking at Bryson's log. He has nothing above that since the 2020 PGA. He gained 7.3. I mean, 7.2 is just ridiculous.
Yeah.
It's elite. It's absolutely elite.
Oh my God, going through Bryson's numbers, like this guy was so fucking good. I hope he figures it out. And I mean, while we're on the topic, you know, I said to you when we were sitting next to each other a little while ago, I was like, Bryson at like 125, like or was it 175? One of the two. I was like, how do you not just like sprinkle on that? But sometimes you got to see it first, especially when the guy's coming off an injury, specifically a guy who whose game requires him to be in the best physical shape possible. Yeah, it's just not feasible this week. But interesting pick with List. Here's my interesting pick. My favorite alcoholic, Chris Kirk, 70-1. I don't think I've ever touched this guy with a 10-inch pole on DraftKings and one and dones and betting outrights, anything. Just, I don't know why. I don't love his game for whatever reason. But holy crap, this guy is having one of – he's having an unbelievable season. That's really all there is to be said. I mean, shit, he just finished. He had a 15th place finish at the Charles Schwab. He had a 5th place finish at the PGA, 5th place finish at the Arnold Palmer, 7th at the Honda, top 15 at Phoenix Open. I mean, he's gained strokes off the tee in every single event dating back to the CJ Cup, which was in October. That's
he does
for everyone out there. That's 18 events. So pretty that's just off the tee. He hasn't lost strokes tee to green since August of 2021, which is 18 events also. So that's his game, tee to green. And the other thing I like about it, he's played decently here in the past. He has 3 top 26 finishes here, including a top 5 finish. He's just another guy, unfortunately, where the issue is the putter, but he's gained strokes putting his past 2 weeks, and those are both on bank grass greens, which is what we'll be playing this week. So maybe he's figured something out on his preferred surface. It's the only one that he gains strokes on out of all of the putting surfaces. I didn't want to take him because, you know, sometimes I get emotional, but the numbers just kept bringing me right back to him. Chris Kirk, 70-1. I'm gonna ride that one.
I like it. I've always been a Chris Kirk guy. You know that.
So. I just always get scared, like thinking to myself, and this is what I do. And I feel like a lot of common golf bettors, specifically golf, do this to themselves as well all the time. I look at a guy like Chris Kirk and I just look at the name, and I know Chris Kirk's golf game. I've seen him play for years now watching PGA Tour. And I just think to myself, there's no way this guy can win at Jack's Place. There's no way. Like, this feels just too good. And I just convinced myself that just because of the name and that the fact that he's never actually gone out and won something. But it happens all the time that these, I don't want to call them no-namers, but these, you know, journeymen on the PGA Tour, they go out and win big events. Look at Luke List, for the perfect example, won at Torrey Pines this year. That's a premier event on the tour, probably one of the top 10 events that they play all year. And Luke List was over 100-1 odds that week. So some of these guys, they can still power through. I need to do a better job at it, and I'm working on it, hence the bet this week. But for everybody else out there that has a similar issue, just think to yourself, you know, it happens all the time. Guys that aren't big names and that have never really accomplished anything on the tour, they eventually sometimes do. So I just wanted to go on a little rant there.
Appreciate it.
Yeah, you're welcome. You got something you want to fucking say? You're going to sit there and tickle your dick.
I specifically wrapped up the last time I spoke saying that's the last of my long shots. And this is the outright section, Brandon. So if you're done with your Kirk bet and you got nothing else, let's get going. But you did mention some long shot that you liked that I was going to laugh at. Those.
I got more. I'm going with the sexiest man on tour, Adam Scott at 80-1 odds. Another guy, a phenomenal course history here. 2 top fives, owns this course, never missed a cut, never finished worse than 46th. And he's played here plenty of times. This guy just somehow fits the mold, dominates Jack Nicklaus design courses. Last 6 events they've played on them, 5th in total strokes gained. The weird thing about his game right now is the irons have been what's been letting him down. He's lost strokes on approach in 3 of the last 4 events, but that's like typically the strongest part of his game. And if I go back to the last 50 rounds, which is basically the equivalent of, you know, 12, 13 events versus just the last 3 or 4, he ranks 19th in the field on approach. So the irons will be there. They'll come back around. He didn't just lose them. All I need him to do is have one of those weeks because the rest of his game is phenomenal. Ranks 8th in the field in proximity from 200 plus yards, which we talked about that. It's going to be huge on the par 3s and the par 5s. He's typically sound off the tee, especially if at what you could call a club down course, to make sure that you're hitting fairways. And short game, somehow this year is the best putting year of his life. So I love that. And chipping and bunker play always going to be above average. Everything needs to click in 1 week, which you could say that about anybody, but guys like him getting a little bit older. And guess what? He's running out of time, because I have a feeling Adam Scott's going to the LIV Saudi league, and he's not going to be on the PGA Tour anymore. So you want to start racking up some wins on the PGA Tour, you better hurry up. Chop, chop, Adam.
Chop, chop.
All right. I got one long shot.
Always putting in food references, man.
No, that's why they call me the pig. So last guy on my list, 125-1, Anner Bonlahiri.
I knew that was coming.
Oh, I thought you were going to love that.
I do.
Yeah, dude, he plays well on this course. He's never missed a cut in four tries, finished a runner up here in 2017. He's been playing amazing golf lately. That's really all you need to know. Just look at the finishes. Sixth place finish at Wells Fargo, 15th at the Mexico, 13th at Valero, runner up at the Players. He's on a run right now. He's gaining strokes off the tee in 2, 4, 6, 8 straight events. The approach play has come around. He's gained in 4 of the last 6, and his short game seems to be sound, and he's typically a good putter. And I literally just put all those together. Sounds like you could put yourself in contention. Is Anner Bonlahiri going to win at Jack's Place in this type of field? I don't know. 125-1, though. Worth a shot. So that will do it for our outright plays. Did you mentioned all the guys you liked? I'll circle back to it because I just left the page about some potential other long shots I was eyeing. I'll tell you what. One guy that really stood out to me, the numbers really backed it up, and he's played really well at the Memorial, is Ricky Fowler. I mean, it's just like Anner Bon, who I'll probably – and I don't usually do this. I'm not much of a top 20, top 10 guy, top 40, whatever. But Lahiri would fit that mold. And Ricky Fowler, top 20 this week. I believe I saw he was plus 550. I'm going to be on that. I actually really like the way his game is trending. The putter's finally coming back to him, and I think he's starting to get a little bit of confidence and momentum. And now he's going to Jack's Place, where he's played really well in his career. Top 20 bet for sure for me. DraftKings play for sure for me, and then he's going to be pretty low owned in DraftKings as well. Just wanted to throw that out there. But that'll do it for our outright plays. Let's get into our 72 hole matchups. Lead us off there, Buckaroo, especially after,
oh, I will. When you carry the show,
a pretty big week for me.
Know your role, shut your mouth. And okay, that starts off with a 5-pack for the farmer. The farmer's 5-pack this week. And we're going to start off at the top of the board. Should be no surprise. And we're going to double attack Victor Hovland here. We're going Morikawa -105 over Hovland. And we're going Xander Schauffele -120 over Victor Hovland. The scramble percentage you mentioned, guy played, I mean, we bet on him last week. He played himself out of the tournament with just terrible around the green play. Guy lost 2.5 strokes on approach, and that was dunking a bunker shot that would have went, that included dunking a bunker shot that went, that would have been 40 feet past the hole. So guy literally played himself out of the tournament around the green. I want to pick on him with two golfers that I love this week with Morikawa and Xander. Next, you get Patrick Reed -105 over Billy Horschel. Self-explanatory for all the reasons I already outlined. I'm already counting my chips at the table with that one. Next, Brendan Steele -115 over Adam Hadwin. Adam Hadwin's hot run has come to an end. His hot irons have stopped. Lost 2 in a row with his irons. And Brendan Steele at the PGA Championship gained 7.2 with his irons, Brandon. That's elite. That is the Lucas off the tee elite numbers we were talking about. Brendan Steele's irons are dial the fuck in. Honestly, I gave him a look as a long shot. I don't think he's going to win, but when it comes to DraftKings and whatnot, I will have exposure to Brendan Steele. When you see numbers like that, the guy has made 5 cuts in a row, worst finish of 51st, sprinkle in a couple top 15s in there. He's playing just solid, solid golf. And when it comes to Memorial, this guy's played well here for years and years and years. Hasn't missed a cut since 2014 at the Memorial. That's 6 straight cuts made for Brendan Steele. Like him a lot in DraftKings. Like him a lot in this matchup. And then last but not least, Luke List -145. A little juicy for me. I don't like going this juicy, but I like him over Cameron Champ here. I think that Cameron Champ is in a lot of trouble unless he has that complete elite driver. But he lost strokes with the driver. his last time out, maybe a little shaky. And I like Luke List a lot on this course setup. So that is my five pack, the Farmers five pack.
Farmer five pack. Well, I do have one bet similar. I'm also going to take Morikawa over Hovland. It's a straight fade on Hovland, getting Morikawa as an underdog at a preferable course. Nothing not to like there. Then I'm going to go down and I'm going to take Adam Scott over Jason Day. Jason Day from, well, not from, he's obviously Australian, lives in Ohio, always gets a lot of hype coming into this event. And frankly, he doesn't play that well. I mean, he had one good top 10 finish. Aside from that, he's missed a few cuts. What scares me the most about Jason Day right now as a fade option is his irons. Oh my God, they're just atrocious. He lost 3.7 at the PGA, 4.1 at the Byron Nelson before that. And if I just go back to the start of the season, he's only gained strokes on approach three times all year. It's just, it's not there. The tee to green game sucks too. It's not just his approach play. Like the whole game just isn't there. And tee to green is actually like, I don't typically, you know, use that as a metric that I like to factor in like a lot, but this is the type of event where I feel like tee to green game is huge because you don't want to have to be scrambling. And he's only gained strokes tee to green four times all year. I mean, that's just really, really bad ball striking. So all that to say, fade on him. And that's it for my matchup. Just those two. I'm going to keep it short and sweet. So good stuff on the matchups. First round leader. Yeah. You fed one last week. It was dead heat with about six other people, but hey, still put money in the pocket.
Yeah, it's tough to find numbers on those. I was looking, I couldn't find like this early in the week on a Tuesday evening. But when I look at it, I mean, if you're not a first time listener, you sure as hell know I'm only betting first round leaders from the morning wave. So I was looking, I saw Luke List going off early. So I like him. I'm trying to see if I can catch a number on him. But I don't know. But whatever
his number. 70-1 on our local.
Okay, you'll probably find an 80 or 90 on one of the good sites. So that will definitely be on my card. Nothing else that like initially jumped off the page at me. I got to do a little more digging. One interesting note, though, I didn't realize, Brandon, but Harris English, welcome back to the PGA Tour. He is back.
I did notice that today. I was actually looking at through the numbers and his short game numbers were sticking out. And I was like, oh, I didn't even know Harris English was in the field, but I guess so. Making his return after some surgery. So yeah, that's a fade spot this week. Let's see how it comes out. But the PGA Tour is better when Harris English is playing well, good golf. So hopefully he comes
nice
back.
To say, it's nice of you to say.
Yeah. You know, I'm a nice guy. Him and Bryson more so. I would love when Bryson's back on tour. Just creates the drama. Gotta love it. So, all right. That sounds like it's going to wrap it up.
No, I mean, I'll probably be on Keegan. I see he goes off early. Probably grab a little piece of him. I was really hoping Brandon Steele went off early. If so, I will definitely be on him. But you know where to find my final card. Those picks will be available for your perusal.
All right. Sounds like it's going to wrap up Golf Picks with the Plotniks, the Memorial 2022, Jack's Place. Good luck.
GLTA.